أحب الله والإسلام،
أحب الله والإسلام،
أحب الله والإسلام،
أحب الله والإسلام،
أحب الله والإسلام والقرآن والجنة، أحب جحافل الإيمان ترفع راية السنة، أحب الله والإسلام والقرآن والجنة، أحب جحافل الإيمان ترفع راية السنة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، last week we gave a little introduction on our Usul al-Thalatha, on our classical study of Al-Usul al-Thalatha. And a little introduction, then we mentioned the three aspects of Tawheed in Bismillah. Then we mentioned two grammatical rules in Bismillah. Then we mentioned proof for initiating your actions in your day-to-day activities with Bismillah, because it's a matter of ibadah that needs proof. Then we mention the blessings, a portion of the blessings of Allah when you say Bismillah. We're not done with Bismillah. And here I say, you need patience a little bit. We all need patience in our study. Sometimes we're going to pick up the pace, and sometimes we're going to slow down. Sometimes we're going to pick up the pace because it's obvious, or in the future we're going to study in more detail. Sometimes, like here, we need to know it. This is a first verse in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You have to fully encompass the meaning. And really, we can go into more depth in this, but we have to understand, as students of knowledge, somewhat of what Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim means. And having said that, when you do your outline, so I won't lose count, write the topic, for example, Bismillah, and then put the numbers under it, or an asterisk, and the points that we're talking, because it's a systematic study, and it's not sporadic stuff, so organize it. The next point we're going to talk about in Bismillah is, do you say Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? The general rule is when there's no specific proof on a certain matter, you can say the entire Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For example, writing a book, you're writing day-to-day activity, you can say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, not just Bismillah. It's mustahab, you can say Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In fact, matters like writing a book, you got proof to back it up from what the Prophet ﷺ did in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, to say the entire Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So matter where there's no specific proof, you can say Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, there's matters where there's specific proof where the Prophet ﷺ only said Bismillah. Bismillah without ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Like eating, for example. Do you say Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim when you eat? Is it the full Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? In this matter, there is specific proof in eating. If there's a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet said, when you eat, say Bismillah. If you forget it, then say, in the beginning, then say Bismillah awwalihi wa akhirih. Look at that. He didn't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim awwalihi wa akhirih. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said Bismillah for eating, and he repeated it twice. Once if you say it originally, and a second when what to say if you forgot it. In Bismillah, in the beginning, and if you forget it, you say Bismillah awwalihi wa akhirih. This hadith is also narrated by Ibn Mas'ud. In this hadith, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, this hadith is the most forthright hadith on this matter, meaning saying Bismillah when you eat. The problem, for example, is An-Nawawi in his book Al-Adhkar said, it's better to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim when you eat than it is to say Bismillah. Ibn Taymiyyah said, it's permissible to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. However, Ibn Hajar commented on a Nawawi statement saying, I don't know where there's any proof to say it's better to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim than it is to say Bismillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith narrated by Samura, if I tell you a hadith, don't add to my saying. Hadith Samura. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال, إِذَا حَدَّثْتُكُمْ حَدِيثًا فَلَا تَزِيدَنَّ عَلَيْهِ. Don't add to a hadith I tell you. Don't add, yeah, the general meaning of it is, when you learn something, don't add to that hadith. But it also means,
in application in ibadah, you yourself, when you apply the ibadah, don't add. Don't add. If he didn't say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, don't add. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching a young boy, the hadith we mentioned last week. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not hide anything, never, specifically when he teaches. He's a legislator. He's legislating. When he sees something, he's legislating. When he told Umar ibn Abi Salama, he said, قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكْ وَكُلْ مِمَّيْرِكْ قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Some say, what's the big idea? What's the big deal here? Why are you making a big deal? بِسْمِ اللَّهِ or بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. This issues of ibadah. In ibadah, we adhere strictly to proof. Because anyone who adds to ibadah or any matter of Islam is like saying to Allah and the Prophet ﷺ, you don't know, I want to add a little bit from my own. That's what you're saying when you're adding innovation in Islam. Muslim, in hadith Muslim, Umara ibn Ru'aybah seen Bishr ibn Marwan raising his hands in the pulpit on Friday. He said, may Allah disgrace those two hands. قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ هَتَيْنِ الْيَدَيْنِ. I seen the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the pulpit, and he never went beyond this. The Prophet only did this. Where you come up with this? And Nawawi commented on said this, the sunnah is not to raise your hand during the khutbah. I wrote an article on this several months ago, because a local masjid here, we're attending Jum'ah, and a young khatib got up and he commented on this, saying you shouldn't raise your hands, and you know, commotion broke out. How you say don't raise your hands? Don't raise your hands. So you can refer to that article in more detail on raising your hands in Jum'ah. Even more than that, even more than the hadith of Umar, Mustadrak, Al-Hakim, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhum has seen a man sneeze. What do you say when you sneeze? Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. The man sneezed in front of Ibn Umar and says, Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. He added, wa salatu wa salamu. Beautiful meaning. Peace and blessing be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's wrong with adding that? Some say, what's wrong with adding that? It's a nice addition to Alhamdulillah. I sneeze, I say, Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Ibn Umar deterred him from that addition. He wanted him to stick with Alhamdulillah, period. The Prophet said Alhamdulillah, period. That's it. Ibn Abdin said it's dislike to add wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah when you sneeze and say Alhamdulillah. As-Suyuti said it's affirmatively a vilified bid'ah. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah when you sneeze. Even though the Prophet started some of his khutab with that. Well, what's wrong if you add praise to the Prophet to Alhamdulillah when you sneeze? After you sneeze, say Alhamdulillah, period. Because the Prophet ﷺ said Alhamdulillah, period. Then you go when you're done, if someone responds to you, when you're done, go say As-Salatu Wassalamu Ala Rasulullah 1,000 times. Here we have the issue of eating. The Prophet ﷺ is telling Umar ibn Abi Salama, إِذَا أَكَلْتَ فَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِ. He didn't say, إِذَا أَكَلْتَ, say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So you have the Aisha, hadith Aisha and Ibn Mas'ud, the hadith Ibn Hajar said is the most forthright hadith in the issue, on this issue. So it's best to stick with what the hadith said. There's some other matters where the Prophet ﷺ specified only Bismillah. For example, relationship with a woman, your spouse. Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannib shaytana ma razaqtana. Bukhari Muslim. Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan. He's saying Bismillah, Rahman Rahim, Allahumma jannibna shaytan. Hadith Anas, radiallahu anh, when you go to the bathroom, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. Look how Bismillah specified in those. Other than these matters, where there's no specific proof, or a hadith just mentioning Bismillah alone, you're free to mention the entire Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Where the hadith limits it to Bismillah, stick to Bismillah. The next point. We're done with Bism. Now let's take Allah. Allah, the sole title for the Lord that fashioned everything. Allah, the sole title for the Lord that fashioned everything. Allah is a name that is only for Allah. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما فاعبده واصطبر لعبادته هل تعلم له سمية. Do you know anyone who is similar to him? You know what that question is? This question at the end of this verse, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً? It's not a question that needs an answer. It's like a rhetorical question. It's a question that's used to make a point. Some scholars said, the meaning of, do you know a similar to him? is that there is no one other than Allah with the name Allah. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً is names. Allah is derivative from the word ilah. The root word is ilah, as Ibn al-Qayyim and others said. Ilah is from uluhiyyah, one-ship. One-ship. Ilah is one-ship. That's the root word of Allah. Sibawayh said, alif and lam were added to ilah as an honor and ta'zim. They were added to the root word as an honor and ta'zim to Allah. When you add it, you add the shadda then, and you take one of the hamza out. So it becomes Allah. Look at how the Quran uses Allah. And at other times it uses Rabb. When Musa went to get the fire, his family were called and he wanted light and fire. Allah says in the Quran, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَقْنَ عَلَىٰ عَنَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَىٰ Verily, Musa, I'm your Lord. I am your Lord. Take off your shoes. Verily, I'm your Lord. He uses lordship. Because the setting was that of lordship. Setting. Allah wanted to tell Musa, I take care of you. I sustain you. He is telling Musa, I protect you. What are those aspects of? I guard you. I nourish you. إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ Then shortly thereafter, Allah uses Allah in the same talk to Musa. He says, I've chosen you. So listen to that which will be revealed to you. Verily, I am Allah. لا إله إلا أنا. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى إنني أنا الله. The second time, Allah says, I am Allah, not Rabbuk. Why? Lord and Rabb. He said that a few moments ago, Rabb. Now he's saying Allah. First, Musa was afraid. Allah is telling him, I take care of you, I protect you, I maintain you, I sustain you. Second statement was in a speech where Allah was telling Musa what's requested of Musa. That means, Musa, you need to do this, you need to do that. What are those aspects of? Uluhiyyah. So Allah uses Allah. The verse said, U'budni, worship me, Musa. Aqim as-salah, perform salah. What are those? When you do those, they are entail Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. So that's why Allah said in the first one, Inni ana rabbuk. In the second one, he said, Inni ana Allah. Sensitive matters where he could have used either one. But these are show you how sensitive the Quran is and how Allah and Rabb are used. Next point. Allah is different than any other names in many ways. When you call Allah, you say, Ya Allah, with the alif and lam. Alif and lam before mean the. Linguistic scholars and scholars of the Salaf all said, you say, Ya Allah. You ever say, Ya Al-Jabbar? You ever say, Ya Al-Kareem? No. You say, Ya Al-Rahim? You say, Ya Kareem. You take out Al. Ya Rahim. Ya Ghafoor. In Allah, you say, Ya Allah, with the alif and lam before it. Unique, unlike any of other Allah's names. Some like At-Tahawi, Ibn Al-Qayyim, use that as proof to substantiate that that's the mighty name of Allah, the one if one uses to make a supplication, Allah will answer. We will talk about that, inshallah, in the future when we talk about Asma and Sifat in detail. The next point. Allah, the name itself, is not a dhikr by itself. It's in dua. It's in praise. It's in glorification. It's in the shahada, but it's not by itself a form of dhikr that we were taught of by the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you don't go and say 100 times Allah, Allah, Allah. You don't hold the beads and say 100 times Allah. You say Alhamdulillah. You say Bismillah. You say La ilaha illallah. You say Ya Allah, I need this. But Allah, Allah, Allah alone is not a form of dhikr that we were taught. The next point. Allah is the name that all his other names follow. Allah هو الاسم الأصل الذي غيره يضاف إليه. Allah does not follow any of the other names. The name Allah doesn't follow any of the other names. The other names of Allah follow the name Allah. Let me explain it with an example because you might have heard this statement before, but an example is going to clear the confused faces that I see. Al-Quddus, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Khaliq, all those are a name of Allah. You don't say Allah is the name of Al-Aziz. You don't say that. You don't say Allah is the name of Ar-Rahman. You flip it. You say Al-Quddus is the name of Allah. The first one is improper to say. This one, Al-Aziz is the name of Allah. Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah. The other names follow the name of Allah. You understand? The next point. We previously said in the last class that Bismillah entails all three of your acts, the Tawheed of Uluhiyyah, to Allah. You submit the three codes of Tawheed, form of Tawheed, in Allah for any matter, you say Bismillah. That's in saying Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Or even Bismillah. We mentioned that in last class. Now I'm going to say the name Allah includes believing in all three types of Tawheed. Implies that you must believe in all three types of Tawheed. Not even the name Allah. The root of Allah, ilah, is the three types of Tawheed. That entails that you must believe in all Tawheed. Al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, mutadamminun Tawheed al-Rububiyya. Bima'na anna Tawheed al-Rububiyya, juz'un min ma'na Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Look. Rububiyya, Tawheed al-Rububiyya is included as part in Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. The opposite is not true. So ilah, the root word of Allah, is Uluhiyya. Uluhiyya, one-ship. Included in the one-ship is Rububiyya. You got two Tawheeds there. Then Allah, the name itself, is Asma. So that's Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. That's three Tawheeds in the name Allah. Not even Allah's name, in the root name of Allah, Ilah. Next point. Allah is mentioned in the Quran 2,602 times according to Al-Mu'jam Al-Mufahras. It's the most popular name of Allah. The name chosen out of all the names to say your shahada, when you say shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illa rahman, say ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, chosen to say your shahada. When you utter that name, you're not uttering just any name, you're uttering the name of the majestic, the reverend, the sublime, Allah. Allah is the name you shout when you're in fear to gain safety. Allah is the name that if you mention it in something scarce, seeking it to be blessed, it becomes plenty and even more. The name that those who in fear call to attain security in Aman. The name that those call for relief when they're in distress, when they're in anguish, when they're in agony, when they're in sorrow. Allah, you call Allah. No one troubled or worried calls the name of Allah except that Allah unveils his troubles and his worries. Allah. Allah, not a poor that clings on to the name of Allah except that Allah makes him affluent. Not an ill who clings on to the name of Allah except that he becomes healthy. Healthy. The name, when a distress calls, he gets provided with safety. Allah. The name, when a weak calls that name, he gives him power and honor. When an oppressed uses that name and calls that name, Allah, he grants him victory. Allah is the name to call. When you want mercy, call Allah. Allah is the name to call for abundance and blessings. Allah. Allah is the name you call when you want to cleanse your sins. Allah. Allah is not any ordinary name. You feel what Allah's name is? If you one comprehended the name of Allah, he would live in ultimate happiness. The meanings of the names of Allah. When you make Allah magnificent in your heart becomes the strongest, most firm, most pure heart. And at the same time, it becomes a merciful heart because it has Allah in it. Allah. Allah is not any ordinary name. A heart that truly knows the meaning of Allah could never belittle a sin. If it truly knows Allah, the name Allah, when you say Bismillah by fard from Allah, you say Allah's name by fard 17 times. Bismillah, you have to say 17 times a day in your salah, in Fatiha. In addition to tens of times, you got to say as sunnah, recommendation. Don't think it's just another normal word you're uttering. Allah is not normal word you're uttering. Some have a higher regard when they're mentioning the names of their bosses and their kings and their spouses and their presidents than they do when they mention Allah's name. Check your level of your iman by knowing your feeling when you hear the name of Allah. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. When Allah's name alone is mentioned, the hearts of those who do not believe are filled with disgust. The level of gratification, the level of comfort, the level of content, the level of tranquility and happiness you feel when the name of Allah is mentioned tells you the level of iman you have in your heart. Because of that verse, you're saying the name of the one who raised seven skies when you're saying Allah with no pillars to hold them up. You're saying the name of the one who lowered seven earths under you by the word of kun fayakun. And then he created you from an emitted semen as beautiful and in the best of all stature. Let that go through your mind every time you hear of a sentence with Allah in it. More importantly, remember all that when you say Allah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا. They underestimate. Don't be like those who underestimate Allah. Don't be among those who underestimate Allah. Don't ever be like that when you hear His name. It's something big. It's something huge. They made not a just estimate of Allah. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the day of the resurrection, the whole earth will be grasped in His hand. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِ. And the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Glorified be He in high above that, those who attribute a partner to Him. Now, we're done with Bismillah. Let's move on to the next two words. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, we're going to talk a glimpse about Ar-Rahman, then a glimpse about Ar-Rahim, and then we're going to take notes about both of them. So you're going to say Ar-Rahman, then Ar-Rahim, then notes about both of them. Ar-Rahman. Rahman is the one who has the complete mercy. Mercy that encompasses everything. This name is unique in that it's among the exclusive names to Allah. Rahman is the exclusive name to Allah. It's a name particular to Allah. Wasf, description, like an adjective of mercy. Owner of the great, vast, ultimate, extensive mercy. The ultimate, complete mercy that is exclusive to no one other than Allah. That's a Rahman. Words in Arabic that are in the form or scale of fa'lan indicate vastness and abundance, extensive. Meaning, words that are rhyme, the word fa'lan, like here, Rahman, fa'lan, you see how they rhyme? Mean the entire, complete, ultimate mercy. For example, take it in how it pertains to human being. When you say ghadban, which is on the rhythm of fa'lan, sakran, which is on the rhythm of fa'lan, you notice how they all rhyme? Fa'lan, ghadban, sakran, ghadshan, they all rhyme. When you say ghadban, it means anger, but not anger, complete, enrage, ultimate anger. Ghadshan, thirsty, outmost, entire, complete, full thirst. Likewise, Ar-Rahman, and Allah of course has some supreme examples, it means a high scale of mercy that only belongs to Allah. That is mentioned in the Quran, Ar-Rahman 57 times according to Al-Mu'jam Al-Mufahras. Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate. Ar-Rahman, the most gracious. Okay, that's a glimpse of Ar-Rahman. Now let's take Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim is a name which refers to the action, meaning the one whose mercy reaches to others. This name applies to Allah, but restrictly applies to others. Applies to Allah and restrictly applies to others. It's mentioned 114 times in the Quran, like I said, according to Al-Mu'jam Mufaras. The mercy that encompasses His creation. This word is on the scale of fa'il. This one here is on fa'il. Rahim, fa'il. In Arabic, words on the scale of fa'il are a form, they take it to a form of being intensified form of that action reaching others. Allah is the most merciful to the universe. The most merciful to the universe, to His creation. The name restrictly, keep that word in mind, applies to others. You can have mercy to your children, all of you, to your brothers, to your family. But of course, there's no way you can merely imagine comparing the mercy of Allah to the mercy of any of His creation, or even the mercy of His creations combined from the time of the creation until the judgment day. You can't even compare. It's not even a feather weight or an atom weight or even less than that compared to the mercy of Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahim. Even though you may have some type of mercy, which no one can deny, You can never compare your mercy to Allah's mercy. That's what we mean when we say restrictly applies to others. In Surah Ash-Shura, Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's none like him. He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah says, لَا تُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. No vision can grasp him, but he grasps all visions. So that's Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Now let's take Ar-Rahman. Now in your notes, you put Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim together and put asterisks or a dash and then make your notes, or you can number them. We took Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, then we took Ar-Rahim. Now Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim together. Taking them both together, first of all, a general review of what we took in summary. Ar-Rahman is one who possesses the great extensive mercy. Ar-Rahim is the one whose mercy goes on, gives it to his servants and his creation. The phrase Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, indicates the great, vast, ultimate mercy of Allah. Okay, that's first. Second, there's a difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. There's a difference in some ways that I'm going to mention. No one can be named Ar-Rahman, but some people can be named Ar-Rahim of his creation. No one can be named a name exclusive to Allah. It's a restricted name to Allah, Ar-Rahman. You can't name that name. The utmost mercy, the complete, the fulfilled mercy, that's only to Allah. You can't have that. It's not a characteristic in you, so you can't have that. Just like you can't name Allah because you don't have the characteristics of Allah, you can't name Ar-Rahman. It's an exclusive name to Allah. You can't name, likewise, Al-Khaliq, the creator. You can't name Al-Razzaq, the sustainer. You can't name Al-Ahad. You can't name Al-Samad. You can't name Al-Bari. You can't name Al-Qayyum. Khaliq, for example, the creator, the one who creates something with no similar, no resemblance, no comparison, no prior similar comparison to it. Can you create something like that? You can't, so you can't be called Al-Khaliq. You don't have that characteristic. Al-Bari is a maker, one who makes something free from any deficiency. Can you make anything free of any deficiency? Of course you cannot do that, so you can't be called Al-Bari. Then there are some names that you can be named like Ghani, Malik, Aziz, Jabbar, Ghani in the Quran. Allah describes the woman who accused Yusuf, Imra'atul Aziz. Allah's name is Al-Aziz and Allah calls her the wife of the Aziz. Hakim ibn Hizam. Hakim is a name of Allah. A Sahabi during the Prophet's time was named called Hakim. Allah said in the Quran, كذلك يطبع الله على كل قلب متكبر جبار. Allah seals the hearts of every arrogant tyrant. He used the name Jabbar to his creation. His name is Jabbar, he uses that to his creation. It's used 10 times in the Quran. This word is used 10 times in the Quran. 9 out of those 10 times is for people who are strong or oppressive or commit injustice or those who do any type of zulm. The last time is mentioned, Al-Jabbar, is in Surah Al-Hashr, and it refers to Allah. When a human is permitted to name those, in one way or another, it's in a negative sense. Even if mentioned positively, it has some kind of deficiency in it, because you're human. When you mention Allah, then there's none like Allah. It's the complete, positive, ultimate example. It's the complete, outmost, positive quality of that name, whatever it means. That's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Look in the Quran. Allah said in the Quran, Sami' Basir, the hearing and listening. Allah calls you. Allah calls you. In Surah Al-Insan, the second verse. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا إن خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا. Allah says about you. جعلناه سميعا بصيرا. In how many times in the Quran Allah says about himself, وهو السميع البصير. Specifically, this name, Rahman, Rahman, Rahim, can be named like that. Rahim, you can name yourself that, or your child that. Allah says in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, about the Prophet ﷺ. He names his Prophet Rahimah. There are names that you can be named of Allah's names, but always ask, know that there's nowhere you can compare your quality to Allah's quality. Musaylamah, the liar, decided to call himself the Rahman, exclusive name from Allah. As a punishment from Allah, Allah made him known as the lion and exposed him. He chose the exclusive name of Allah, Ar-Rahman. His name was Rahman al-Yamama. Allah clothed him with the nickname, the liar, that he's known by all the way until the judgment day. If you say Rahman al-Yamama, does anyone today know him? No one today knows him. History book documents him as Musaylama al-Kadhab. Musaylama, the liar. That's his punishment for trying to use an exclusive name of Allah. He became an example of a liar among the residents of his cities and villages, in the people in the deserts, in the Bedouins, and in history. The liar, a punishment for one who tries to use the exclusive name of Allah. Now, the first difference is between Ar-Rahman Rahim, you can name Rahim, but you can't name Ar-Rahman because one is exclusive to Allah, the other is not, even though Rahim, you're different resemblance in the qualities between a creation and the creator. Okay, another one. The second one, Ibn Jarir and others, al-Farisi said, Ar-Rahman is for all the creation, evil and non-evil, and human and non-human. And Ar-Rahim is only for the believers. Ar-Rahman carries a broader scope of meaning pertaining to the mercy of Allah. That's basically what al-Farisi, Ibn Jarir and others said. And they use this proof, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, where, and he is with the believers, رَحِيمًا, using the word رَحِيمًا. So one, the first one is a broad form, and the second one's only for the believers. Some scholars objected to this. We don't want to get into that right now, but some scholars objected to that. Ibn Abbas said they are soft, tender, gentle, raqiq, raqiq names. One of them is softer than the other, meaning it carries, one carries more implication than the other. Ismani raqiqani ahaduhuma araqqu min al-akhar. Each one is more merciful than the other. Ibn al-Mubarak said, Rahman, if you ask, he gives. Rahim, if you don't ask, he gets mad. So basically, that's what some scholars said. The next point is, Ar-Rahman al-Rahim give the quality, the mercy of Allah, the quality of mercy to Allah. And we affirm to Allah what He affirmed to Himself and what His Messenger, the most knowledgeable of creation, affirmed to Him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ لَا تُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ. We have two names that give the quality of mercy to Allah. So we affirm to Allah what He affirmed to Himself and what His Messenger, the most knowledgeable human about knowledgeable of Allah, affirmed to Him. We do it without free of any tashbih. Tashbih means comparison. We don't compare. We do it free from ta'til. Ta'til means the likening of Allah's attributes to that of His attributes of to His creation. Tahrif, without tahrif, without distorting the name or quality. Without ta'til, without denial of any of Allah's qualities or any aspect of it. We'll talk about this inshallah in the future in our aqidah when we talk about tawheed al-asma wa sifat in depth. Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. When you read that, you read, He, Allah is the one. One. He is one without a partner, no associate to Him. That's what everyone understands. But it also means that He is one in His names, in His qualities, and His attributes. In His qualities, He is أَحَدٌ فِي الصِّفَاتِ. أَحَد in His actions, no comparison to Him. That's what أَحَد means, just like it means He's the one without a partner. The terms Ar-Rahman and Rahim give the quality of mercy to Allah. So let's take a quick glance at the mercy of Allah from some few hadith and ayat. When one says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, or any praise, or any verse of Allah, or any glorification of Allah, and you know its meaning, it's an iman energizer. It's an iman booster right there. So you charge up your iman many times a day if you know what you're really talking, not merely uttering your lips. That's why we talk about this in somewhat of depth. The terms give the quality of mercy to Allah. So let's take a quick glimpse at the mercy of Allah from some ayat and hadith. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه said, this is the most encompassing verse of Allah in the whole Quran. Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه said, this is the most easing verse in the Quran. Shawkani said, it's the most hopeful verse in the Quran. Why? Because it's mentioned in Allah's mercy. He's given hope. Who is He mentioning? To the angels? Don't make mistakes, who are obedient to Allah, who are infallible. He's mentioning it to sinners, not just any sinners. Sinners with the utmost crimes. Ya ibadi alladhi, O my slaves who have transgressed their boundaries, who committed evil deeds, evil sins, despair not the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. Despair not the mercy, He forgives all sins. Abu Hurairah in Sahih Muslim and in Sahih Bukhari said, when Allah created the creation, Allah wrote above His throne, Rahmati sabaqat ghadabi, my mercy precedes my wrath. In Bukhari, narrated by Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen a woman seeking her son. When she finally found him, the companions were looking at the scene, she found him, she embraced him tightly, and she began to nurse him. It's such a moving scene, an emotional scene. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions were moved by that gentle, tender love of a mother to her child. At that point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the opportunity to teach the companions about the mercy of Allah. They seen the mercy of a woman, he wanted to teach them about the mercy of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you think a mother like that would harm her son? You think a mother like that would put her son in a fire? They said, no. They even said, no, wallahi. They said, wallahi, no way. While she's alive, no way. Wallahi, no. He said, Allah is more merciful with His servants than this mother is with her child. لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. Some used to make the dua, O Allah, you know my mother is the most merciful human to me on the earth. And I know you're more merciful to me than my mother is. She would not let a punishment or harm get to me. So Ya Allah, I ask you to save me from any punishment. In Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, mercy has 100 parts. There's 100 parts to mercy. He sent down to the earth one part of mercy, to the jinn. One part goes down to the jinn, to the human, to the insects. And it's because of this one part that they have love amongst each other. It's because of that mercy, one mercy, that they show kindness to one another. It is because, this is all the hadith, it is because of that one mercy that a beast treats its young with affection. Allah reserved 99 parts of the mercy for him. Do you understand Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim now? You understand, does that come to mind when you hear Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? The next and final point on Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is how do I attain Allah's rahmah? The best way to attain Allah's mercy, practical way, is to say astaghfirullah. Say astaghfirullah as a form of dhikr. Look at the verse. Salih told his people in Surah Al-An'am, لَوْلَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Seek the forgiveness of Allah so that you may receive the mercy of Allah. Continuous dhikr of astaghfirullah brings you the mercy of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah's mercy is on to the good doers. Rahmatullahi qareebun min al-muhsinin. Musa, when he helped that woman, the two sisters, with water, he said, then he went and said, Rabbi inni liman zatta ilayhi min khair. He showed some mercy, some compassion. It came back onto him. So when you show others mercy, that's the second way of getting it. It comes back at you. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ. In Sunan Abu Dawood, the Prophet ﷺ said, be merciful to people. On this earth, the one above the heavens will have mercy upon you. Be merciful to others in this earth. Your compassion to your wife, your mercy to your wife, your kids, your students, your employees, those you supervise, animals, showing compassion to them, helping them, showing a mercy like Musa did, comes back at you. This is by the hadith. Rahmatullahi qareebun min al-muhsineen. The Anas served the Prophet ﷺ 10 years. Never once did he reprimand him. You think he never did any mistakes? Well, keep that in mind when you treat others to attain the mercy of Allah. Should we go on? I think we'll probably stop here. The next point that we're going to go talk about, inshallah, next week is we're going to start I'lam Rahimakallah. The first statement of the author is I'lam Rahimakallah. And like I said, inshallah, it's going to speed up. As time goes by, when you get the trend into how we're studying this, there's one or two things, inshallah, will happen. Either we'll add another day to the week, it'll be 2 days a week, and then keep going over weeks, over month, adding. Or there's another way to go about it. Start with another of the Islamic sciences or the mothers of the knowledge, mustalah, tafsir, or hadith, or fiqh, the ones that we're planning on studying. What we'll do is we'll ask you and those brothers who study with us from all over, brothers and sisters who study with us all over the world, and what we'll come up with a conclusion. So either we'll, as we progress, 1 day a week is not enough, because we need to finish and go on and move to other things. So as you get a feel of how we're studying this, we'll move it up to two, maybe three times a week, or we could move it up 2 times a week and start another science, inshallah ta'ala. One way or the other, we'll take your input. It's something to think about now. So when we ask for your suggestion, you give it to us. And now if anyone has any questions, we will take them, inshallah.